Philippians chapter 4, look at verse number 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Heavenly Father, bless our Bible study, Lord, as we go down and look at each one of these individually. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us, Lord, to obey this commandment. Not easy in these days, not easy. But I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to live a disciplined life, to discipline ourselves mentally, to understand the importance of what we choose to think upon. And Lord, help us, dear God, to stay on the positive side in a situation, in a world where there's so much negativity. Help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm sitting there literally reading that verse thinking to myself, I don't know, that has been a challenge for the last week and for the last several months, actually. As I'm sitting there reading that, I think how much of my thinking time seemed to always be being pulled towards just the opposite of what is listed here. And we mentioned last week when we began this study that we have to remember that we're a triune creation, and mind, heart, and will. Our mind thinks, our heart feels, and our will decides. And so that's the process. When you understand that your soul is a trinity, just like you are a trinity, body, soul, and spirit, your soul is a trinity. Once you understand that, you are able to at least begin a process of disciplining yourself in those areas of life so that your decisions are right. Because see, folks, the will is the caboose, okay? The mind starts going down a certain track, and then here comes the heart behind it, and then you know what? The will and the decision-making process is going to be pulled right along with it. So you need to make sure your train's on the right track, and so make sure your mind's thinking about the right things. We talked about what the Bible said about the power of the thoughts. Thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. I think 2 Corinthians 10:5, so important. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. What a challenge. What a challenge. But with God's help, we can do that. God would not have given us a command that he knew was impossible for us to obey. And what we have to do is, listen, folks, we can imagine things. Casting down imagination, that's a big deal. That is a big deal. The devil will take one person that gives just looks at us a little funny, and by the time we get home, our imagination has turned it into insanity, where all of a sudden we convinced ourselves this person was talking about us and they didn't like us, and just one look, casting down imaginations. Be careful. The devil play mind games with you, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And that means sometimes I'm going to have thoughts that begin to begin the process of my thinking, get me to start questioning God and challenging God and thinking the wrong way about God. And I need to cast them down. Every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now here's the list. Let's get into it, because I'd like to maybe finish this verse up today. Finally, brother, whatsoever things are true. We talked about that. Truth or lies. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law doth he meditate day and night. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Preacher, I don't know what's true and what's not. Well, I can help you with that. Here it is. I sometimes don't know either on this person saying this or that person saying this, or I hear this on TV, but I know this. I can open this book, and I know that what I'm reading is the truth. And so if I keep my mind grounded on the Word of God, and then I take everything else, that information that comes in, and I filter it through the Word of God to separate out what is the truth and what is not the truth based on the Scripture, all of a sudden that helps me avoid a lot of time thinking about things that are not true. And then honest or unproven. The word honest in this passage means venerable, something proven, something that stood the test of time, honorable, ancient. And I mentioned, spend some time talking about that. You know, the Bible says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein. I'm just far enough down the road that I'm just not falling for every new pony that, you know, trots into town. And every new idea, and you know, well, preacher, not everything that's new is bad. No, I know, but you know what? Why don't we let it prove itself out? Why don't we let it prove itself out, whether it has a lasting, listen, what did the great men say about it? I will get thee to the great men. Don't just, young couples, young people, don't just easily dismiss the wisdom of your forefathers. Don't just easily dismiss it, okay? You know, I think one of the reasons we're, you know, heading down the track we are to destruction in America is we stopped listening to grandma, we stopped listening to grandpa, and we've decided the old preachers didn't know what they were talking about, and everybody's got a new way and a new idea. We just seem like we're hungry for it, and we fall for it, and so be careful about that. Honest or unproven, we've already taught them those things. Now let's go on now. Just or unjust. The word just in this verse means, listen to this, self-evidently right. Self-evidently right. In other words, unquestionably right. Okay, so think about that. The word just in this verse means unquestionably or self-evidently right. Now, if I take that, I always take the meaning, then I flip it over like a coin and say, okay, if this is what I'm supposed to think about, what am I not supposed to think about? So it's just or unjust. The flip side of that definition would be self-evidently wrong. Wait a minute, there's a middle ground. Self-evidently wrong or questionably right. Okay, if there's unquestionably right, I talk sometimes about the white, the gray, and the black, you know, right, the questionable, the wrong. And what the Bible's saying here is just keep your mind out of this. Okay, think about this. How much of our Bible time is spent sometimes just going through a mental exercise of trying to rationalize why something that is questionable is right? And so what I do is I say, okay, this is right. There's no question about that. This is questionable. It might be right, but it might be wrong. And this is definitely wrong. Well, then what the Bible says is keep your mind over here. Keep your mind focused on this. You know, and I think the Bible supports that. Despise not prophesying. In 1 Thessalonians 5, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. One of the things I say is this, you know, all right, so you've got a choice to make. If you make this, it's unquestionably right. If you make this, it might be right, but it's questionable. And if you make this, it's obviously wrong. So why in the world would you make this choice? You know, I believe this. If I'm going to err, I'm going to err on the side of right. I'm going to err on the side of holiness. I'm going to err on the, you know, when we start make allowances for this a lot in our life, then we say, I might be right. Well, you might be wrong. And if you got a choice between maybe right and definitely right, why wouldn't you get over here? Okay, and so that's what it's talking about. The flip side of that definition is evidently wrong or questionably right. Bible's warning us we need to guard against unjust thoughts. Watch this. To develop our principles of life from truths that are unquestionable. So it's warning us to avoid not only what is inarguably wrong, but what is might be considered questionably right. And so be careful about that. And you know what? It keeps my life simple. Say if someone comes to me and says, well, I got to make a choice. And I say, well, this is definitely wrong. Yeah. And isn't this definitely right? Yeah, but I was thinking about this. Well, okay, and we can talk about it. But at the end of the conversation, if we're still kind of like this, then why wouldn't you just go over here? And so, boy, that'll help you in a lot of areas of life. How about this one? Think on those things which are pure. Pure or impure? Now, the word pure, I think everybody here would have a sense of that. It means clean or innocent or modest or chaste. Clean, innocent, modest, or chaste. So the flip side, that's easily defined, unclean, sinful, immodest, or unchaste. You just take them and flip them over. Now, this is where a lot of people battle in their mind, especially with the environment that we have to live in every day of our lives and the world, which has become so wicked. And, you know, I talk about how much, I love spring and I love summer. I love all the seasons. I love fall. I love winter. But if there's, you know, there's a positive and negative to everyone, and I say the temperatures go up and the clothes go off, and you know what, all of a sudden it's more of a challenge. Not that that really matters, because it seems like people make a real effort to be immodest no matter what the temperature is outside. And so what we have to do is we have to really work on this idea of keeping our thoughts pure. This is a warning against thoughts. Listen, that can lead you towards immoral behavior. Now, folks, remember, your thoughts affect your heart, and your heart's going to affect your actions. You think about, begin to think impure thoughts, you'll begin to have impure emotions. And then those two things are what cause people to make then a tragic, tragic mistake. We were out on visitation yesterday. I won't share even close to the details on this particular part of talking to this man, but he knew a man that used to go attend our church. And this guy began to talk to me about this man. He said, "Do you go there anyway more?" And I said, "No, unfortunately, he does not." And he said, "Well, I heard some things." And I said, "Well, what you heard or didn't hear doesn't matter, but he doesn't go to our church anymore." And, you know, I got back in the vehicle and my heart was heavy. Because here's a man that God used in a remarkable way for a period of time in our church. But you know what? He did not guard himself in this area. Ended up blowing up his marriage, ruining his Christian testimony. And I think of the portion of his life that was lived for God and the results of that that are still evident in Blessed Hope Baptist Church today. And yet, watch this, the devil set a trap. Now, let me help you change your thinking right now. Stop trying to think about who it is and start thinking about yourself. Because it could be me or you next. If we do not build safeguards in our minds and in our hearts. When I hear a story of a preacher messing up or a Christian messing up, it doesn't ever make me feel superior. You know what it does? It gets me on my knees saying, "God," I tell people all the time, if the devil can get King David, he can get you. And he can get me, and what we better do is guard our mind. And I think one of the things that helps you to do that, and me to do that, is to memorize verses that you can quote and meditate upon that helps you win the battle of impure thoughts. Somebody, you know, I've had teenage young men come to me over the years, you know. I mean, I've worked with them a long time. And come into my office very honestly saying, "Preacher, I'm trying to live for the Lord, but I'll be honest with you. The biggest battle I'm facing is impure thoughts." And I said, you know, talk to them about casting down imaginations, every thought that, into the obedience, bringing every thought into the obedience of Christ. But one of the ways you do that is to specifically memorize verses that target that area of your life. And I'm all for Bible memorization. I think all memorization is good. But sometimes people just have a general memorization program. And it's kind of like, okay, you know, if you're going to hunt elk, then don't take a 22. All right? And so, you know, take the weapon that's going to kill what you're trying to kill. And so how about verses like this? Psalms 119, 9 through 11. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." You know what? I quote that because I memorized it as a teenager. And you know what? When the impure thoughts come, aren't you glad God wired our minds in such a way that you can't think about two things at one time? The Bible says a double-minded man's unstable in all his ways. There's no way you can fully concentrate on two different things simultaneously. So how do you, you know, be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with? And so, you know, I can't help thinking about, well, you can too. You just got to start thinking about something else. And one of the strongest things, weapons against the devil, I mean, come on, if it worked for Jesus, he didn't have to quote scripture to beat the devil. He quoted scripture so he could teach us something. Right. That's how you beat the devil. Yes, and so when he comes with that, how about Romans 12:21, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." How about Job 31:1, "I made a covenant with mine eyes, then why should I think upon a maid?" And I think this idea of the battle of your mind to keep your thoughts pure, it can be one with the Word of God and think on pure things. This next word, lovely, is an interesting word, lovely or ugly. That's the choices. You can have lovely thoughts or ugly thoughts. The word lovely comes from the root word phileo here, phileo. The type of love is affection. This is the type of love that is an affection shown towards a friend. To be accepting of someone or friendly. Now think with me. Why would he say think lovely thoughts? This type of love is of an affection shown towards a friend. To be accepting of someone or friendly. To show kindly affection towards someone. Now the opposite of lovely thoughts are ugly thoughts. And be careful not to harbor ill feelings towards others. And this is talking about the thoughts we have towards brothers and sisters in Christ. Or even towards lost people sometimes. You know, we ought to approach every person with this idea and with this heart, this mental state of, you know what? I want to think good things about them. I want to think positive things about them. I want to be kind to them. I want to be friendly to them. I want to express a kindness and affection towards them. And yet the devil, he hates that. He hates that. He wants you to spend your time thinking ugly or hurtful thoughts towards people. And you have to ask your, and by the way, if you have that going on in your life, you have to ask God to help you to change your thinking towards that person. Now, this is where someone wants to do what I want to do sometimes when I'm teaching this. But preacher, you don't know what they said or what they did about me or did to me or about someone I care about. Yeah, and I want to just say this. Okay, people can sometimes be mean as snakes. They can be ugly to us. They're capable of being unkind and downright hurtful. But this is the questions that I go through that helps me. When I really am struggling in this area of my life, I have to ask myself some questions. Okay, but this person hurt me. This person did something wrong to me. And I have to say, did they ever beat you with a Roman whip? Did they place a crown of thorns on your head, then pound them into your skull? They spit in your face, then blindfold you and beat you with their fists? Have they forced you to walk up to the top of a hill in front of an entire city, stripped you bare, nailed you to a cross, gambled for your clothes at the foot of the cross, mocked you and laughed at you while you were dying on the cross? Well, folks, listen to me. My sins and your sins did that to Jesus Christ. And you know what he did when he hung on that cross? You know what he said? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, folks, we're kind of walking holy ground right here, because I'll be honest with you, this isn't always easy to do. But Jesus, again, set an example for us. And at some point, when I find myself thinking wrong towards a person, we can sit there and blame them all they want. And you know what? They may be absolutely 100% guilty of everything that you are saying that they did. But you don't answer for what they did. You answer for what you're doing. And you may not be able to control what they did to you. And maybe they don't even feel bad about it. But I've got to manage my mind. And if I spend all my life in this negativity and this spirit of revenge and hurtfulness, and I'm wanting to avenge this and revenge this and evil thoughts, you know, Jesus knew that we would face this. He said this, "Ye have heard that it been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say, do you love your enemies? Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." Wow. And then he said this, "That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain to the just and to the unjust." I think one of the things that helps me is this, and I used to tell this to our daughters, you know, they'd come home and sometimes a situation that they thought was unfair, or they weren't treated right, or you know, something that they perceived somebody got away with something and that aggravated them. And I used to just look at them and say, "Listen, nobody gets away with anything." Okay, I mean, if I sin, there's two things that can happen with that sin. I can get it right, get it under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, or I can not do anything about it. And you know what? Listen, this whole thing in the Bible is pretty solid when it comes to reaping and sowing, or sowing and reaping. And you know, the honest truth is, if a person sows a seed, you're not going to plant taters and then get corn. Okay, it's just not the way it works. I mean, we're finding that out as country people. Are you putting in a garden? Put in a garden this year. Good advice. Put in a large garden this year. Good advice. Okay. Yes. Well, I just get my stuff at Walmart. How'd that work a couple months ago? Put in a big garden this year. But you know what? You go and you buy corn seed and you put it in the ground. And why in the world would you be shocked when corn comes up? Now think about this. If you're going to spend your life thinking hateful things towards somebody, don't you think that you're going to reap that in your life? And so, you know, all I can do is manage me. All I can do is manage me. I didn't say you had to be best friends with them. I didn't say you had to go buddy up with them. I understand that unresolved sins affects relationships. But you know what? You better not harbor that in your heart. You better make sure forgiveness is available, and you ought to make sure that you're not going down that road all the time of bitterness and revenge, because you're hurting you more than you're hurting them. Okay, you spend 10 hours tomorrow thinking hateful thoughts about them, and then I'll call them up and say, how'd your day go? Oh, yeah, good. You know, they don't even know. So who'd you hurt? And so grab a hold of those verses. Recompense, Romans 12 will help you. Recompense no man evil for evil. That's what Jerry Ross wants to do. Come on, that's in your heart sometimes too. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, I like this verse. I'm glad God remembers that I'm human. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Thank you, Lord. Because you know what? Sometimes it doesn't lie in me. It doesn't lie in me. Live peaceably with all men. So what do you do if you can't live peaceably? Then stay away from them. You know, I've had kids that, I mean, just personality clashes in our Christian school over the years. And I mean, two kids always at it all the time. They just, you know what? They're like oil and water. And I finally had to bring them in. So listen, I'm not saying you have to be best friends. And if you have to, just stay away from each other. But you know what? You don't get to treat each other that way here. And sometimes I just have to understand that there's people that I can be close to and some people that I'm better off kind of staying away from a little bit. And, you know, I don't really put that on them. Maybe it ought to lie in me deeper. Maybe I can improve. Maybe I can get to be a better Christian in that area of my life. But I do like this loophole. Thank you very much. But let's listen to what follows that, because this is important. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, another loophole, thank you, Lord, thou shalt heap coals of fires on his head. He said, preacher, you're not a very good Christian. Yeah, sometimes that's true. I'm sure glad that these verses. So I don't want to feed him. You'll be heaping coals of fire on his head. I don't want to give him anything to drink. You'll be heaping coals of fire on his head. You know, hey, you don't have to like it, but it's in there. I didn't write that. Open your Bible. I didn't sneak in your house and write that last night. There are parts of the Bible I read, and I say, thank you, Lord, for understanding and remembering that we're but dust. Because you know what, folks? There are some things that come into our life that are very hurtful. And people can just injure you and hurt you in a way maybe that they know and maybe don't know, and sometimes in a vicious way that is premeditated. And you know what? I think God just says, listen, I'm going to give you some allowance here, but listen to me. Don't spend your life on revenge. That's my area. If you can't live peaceably, then stay over here. But don't sit over here thinking of revenge. That's my area. Okay. And by the way, when I do knock them down and they don't have anything, if they come to you, you're about to prove what kind of a person you are at that moment. Not what they are. You're about to prove to me what you are. Because, you know, I think God would step in and probably settle up some books if we'd stay out of it. But sometimes God doesn't deal with the situation because the situation's more about us than it's about them. And until we get right, I think he feels a little handcuffed. Okay, well, if you're going to do the revenge and thing, I'll just sit over here and see how that goes. You want to balance the books? Well, listen, it'll help you to keep your mind straight. You know, don't waste. Don't stand before the Lord one of these days and have to answer for day after day after days, days and weeks and months of our life where we just walked around mad at this person for a while and then mad at this person for a while, angry with this person for a while and vindicated to this. What are we doing? Okay, you're hurting you. They don't even know most of the time. So hopefully that's a help to us. How about this idea of a good report or bad news, good report? Have you ever wanted to look at somebody and just ask them, do you ever have anything positive to say? Now, a good report is the sharing of a story that is positive about someone or something. I love good reports. I love good reports. I love to give good reports. I mean, if I find out something good, you know what I a lot of times do? Either in my young adult class or here, I'll walk up and say, let me tell you what happened this week. Now, come on, do I do that? Do you know that I have bad reports too? So I think sometimes people that only talk about the good reports and think about the good reports, everybody's convinced, man, they've got it made. Nothing bad ever comes in their life. No, we got bad reports. And you know what? Sometimes I need to bring the, well, I'll just show you, for instance, you know, the last 48 hours, And I'm going to ask you to pray for Lloyd, but Lloyd's not doing well. And me and Cheryl have spent a great deal of time the last 48 hours just trying to care for him. Please pray for him. He's just failing, honestly. He's just failing, and I don't know what that's going to entail for the next week or so. But you know, I could have walked in and just been down. I could have walked in and just walked the pulpit and spent 10, 15 minutes talking about how terrible my life is, and you guys don't really even realize how little sleep I've had and how tired I am. Okay, you know, if I did that, let me tell you, as a leader, if I did that, you know what it would do? It usually doesn't trigger you feeling sorry for me. It triggers in you the same attitude where you want to start sharing with me all the terrible things that happened in your life that week. Because that's what we human beings do. If you don't believe it when you're sick or you've had a surgery, go up and try to tell someone about it. And they'll let you do about half the story. And then they'll start wanting to tell you about their sicknesses and their surgeries. And that's just human nature. But here's the thing. If that's contagious, isn't the positive contagious? And you know, when I walk up and I come up and say, hey, let me tell you how good God's been this week. Because he's been good this week. Amen. Listen, every one of us had good happen this week and bad happen this week. What are you going to think about? What are you going to dwell on? What are you going to let define you as a person? So he said, hey, why don't you just spend all your time on the good reports? And then you know what? Take the bad reports to the Lord. Cast your cares upon him. He care for you. And boy, that's a good way to keep your thinking right. And then we have this this last one here, virtue and praise. Last two, virtue and praise. And we can think of virtue or praise, or we can think of failure or negativity. The list finishes with this challenge. Look for excellence in things that are praiseworthy and think on these things. There's no reason to spend time reliving failures. Oh, I can help you. The reason I can help you is I've had to battle these things in my life, and I've had to get on the victory side. Oh, preacher, I have regrets. Well, join the club. Join the club. We all have regrets. We all have things. And the thing is, watch this. You know, my dad used to say, he said, when the devil reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. And he's real good about bringing up your past. And he doesn't bring up the past victories. He brings up the past mistakes and shortcomings and failures. And he wants to rub them in your face. But listen, if you've gotten them under the blood, you know, God not only forgave them, but he chooses to remember them no more. Well, if God chooses to remember them no more, and they're coming into your mind, is God bringing them into your mind? He's not going to bring into your mind what that he's chosen not even to remember. So who's doing it? So I think a lot of it is, sometimes I say this, but you know, you might pull the curtain back and see who's hiding behind the curtain pulling all the levers. And the devil has a way of hiding in the shadows. And what he does is he just kind of whispers things and gets us into this cycle of negativity and bad and thinking and stuck on failures and regrets in life. And then when we're stuck on that, we're wasting the present. And we're forfeiting the future. And so I can sit here and be stuck on this for a day or two, or I can say, okay, you know what? Get behind me, Satan. That's under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? I've taken it to God, and I've asked God to teach me a lesson and to help me to learn from that experience. And I'm going to go forward and be better. I'm not going to spend my life being bitter over something that I can't go back and change and can't control to this point. Hey, there's a good way to think. There's a good way to think. Paul said that. He said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Listen, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth to those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. Thus minded. And if anything be ye otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this to you. So, preacher, how do you stay positive in a negative world? Listen, you won't accomplish it if you're determined to spend your time, your thinking time, dumpster diving. Okay? Time to check out of the drama. Time to check out of the gossip and the scorning and the criticism and the negativity, and to decide to become a positive force in your family, in your church, in your home, in your community. Stay on the positive side. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll help us. This is a never-ending battle. Lord, it's one that we may win one day, but we'll have to fight it the next. So I pray, Lord, as we do battle on this battlefield called the mind, The devil knows how important our thinking is. That's why he attacks that area so consistently. And so, Lord, just help us along. Help us along. We pray for America right now. My heart breaks over my country right now. We'll talk more about that in the morning service. But, Lord, so many things. And there are so many negative things. Lord, it's hard. It's just hard right now sometimes to really stay on the with the positive thinking and on the upside. So I pray that you'll help us all. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.